Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. On China is Henry Kissinger's large-scale study of Chinese diplomacy, strategic culture, and relations with the outside world. Published in 2011, the book combines diplomatic history, political analysis, and elements of memoir. Drawing on Kissinger's long involvement in United States foreign policy and his direct contacts with Chinese leaders from Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai onward, its purpose is not to provide a full social history of China, but to explain how Chinese leaders have understood power, order, negotiation, and national survival across changing historical circumstances. Kissinger moves from Imperial China and its traditional worldview through the Opium Wars, Revolution, the Communist victory, the Sino-Soviet split, the Korean War, the Nixon opening, normalization, reform under Deng Xiaoping, Tiananmen, and China's 21st century role. The book is especially concerned with continuity, how older habits of statecraft may still shape modern policy. Even when China's institutions and ideology have changed dramatically, I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, China's civilizational view of order and the legacy of the tributary system. A central theme of On China is that Chinese foreign policy cannot be understood only through the modern European model of equal sovereign states competing in a balance of power. Kissinger argues that Imperial China often imagined itself as the center of a cultural and political order rather than as one state among many comparable rivals. This worldview was linked to the tributary system, in which surrounding polities acknowledged Chinese superiority through ritual forms while China managed hierarchy, trade, and security through a mixture of ceremony and practical accommodation. The importance of this framework is not that modern China literally recreates the imperial system, but that it helps explain a preference for long horizons, status sensitivity, and indirect forms of influence. Kissinger treats China as a civilization state with a deep memory of order, continuity, and cultural centrality. This perspective also clarifies why encounters with Western imperial powers were so disruptive they forced China into an international order based on treaties, military coercion, and formal equality among states, a system fundamentally different from the older Chinese conception of regional hierarchy. Secondly, strategic culture shaped by patience, indirection, and positional advantage. Kissinger repeatedly contrasts Chinese strategic habits with American and European approaches to conflict. He uses the comparison between chess and the Chinese game, Weiqi, to illustrate different instincts about power. In chess, victory is often associated with decisive confrontation and the capture of the opposing king. In Weiqi, success comes through gradual encirclement, accumulation of advantage, and control of space before a final outcome becomes obvious. Kissinger does not present this as a rigid formula for every Chinese decision, but as a useful metaphor for understanding strategic patience and indirect pressure. He connects this style to classical Chinese thought, including the importance of avoiding unnecessary battles, exploiting shifts in circumstance, and preserving room for maneuver. The practical implication is that Chinese diplomacy may seek outcomes through sequencing, ambiguity, and incremental gains rather than through explicit ultimatums. This theme helps readers interpret why negotiations with China can appear slow, layered, and highly attentive to symbolism. For Kissinger, the point is not cultural determinism, but the recognition that strategic traditions influence how leaders define risk, timing, and success. Thirdly, the encounter with Western power and the memory of national humiliation. On China devotes significant attention to the 19th and early 20th centuries. When Qing China confronted European and Japanese expansion under conditions of military and technological weakness, Kissinger treats the Opium Wars, unequal treaties, foreign spheres of influence, and Japanese aggression as central to the formation of modern Chinese strategic consciousness. These events undermined the older assumption that China could absorb or manage outsiders through cultural superiority and diplomatic ritual. Instead, China faced an international system backed by naval power, commercial pressure, and territorial intrusion. The resulting crisis was not only geopolitical but psychological. A civilization accustomed to centrality had to reckon with vulnerability and fragmentation. Kissinger connects this history to later Chinese sensitivity about sovereignty, territorial integrity, and foreign interference. The idea of national rejuvenation, while more associated with later Chinese political language, is intelligible against this background of perceived humiliation and recovery. The book therefore explains why issues such as Taiwan, borders, and external criticism carry significance beyond immediate policy. They are linked to a long historical memory of weakness, coercion, and the determination never again to be dominated by outside powers. Fourthly, Mao, Zhou, Revolution, and the hard logic of Cold War survival. Kissinger portrays the communist era as both a break from Imperial China and a continuation of older strategic concerns. Mao Zedong transformed China through revolution, ideological mobilization, and often catastrophic domestic campaigns. yet Kissinger is especially interested in Mao as a strategist operating in a hostile international environment. The book examines the Korean War, the early alliance with the Soviet Union, and the eventual Sino-Soviet split as episodes in which ideology interacted with national security. China entered the Korean War to prevent hostile forces from approaching its border, while the alliance with Moscow later deteriorated because of clashing national interests, leadership rivalries, and divergent revolutionary visions. Zhou Enlai appears as a crucial diplomatic figure, able to translate revolutionary politics into disciplined negotiation and practical statecraft. Kissinger had direct contact with Zhou and presents him as central to the possibility of United States-China rapprochement. This section of the book is distinctive because it combines archival history, strategic interpretation, and personal diplomatic recollection. It shows how revolutionary China could be ideologically radical yet also highly realistic when confronting threats from superpowers. Lastly, the United States-China opening and the search for a stable global balance. One of the most important parts of On China concerns the rapprochement between the United States and the People's Republic of China, especially the secret diplomacy that led to President Richard Nixon's 1972 visit to Beijing. Kissinger explains this opening as a strategic adjustment shaped by the Sino-Soviet split. Both Washington and Beijing saw advantage in limiting Soviet power, even though they remained divided by ideology, Taiwan, Vietnam, and domestic political constraints. The book gives special attention to the meetings with Mao and Zhou, the Shanghai Communique, and the careful language that allowed both sides to move forward without resolving every dispute. Kissinger presents this diplomacy as an example of realpolitik adversaries can cooperate when their interests partially align. Later chapters follow the evolution of the relationship through normalization, Deng Xiaoping's reforms, tensions after Tiananmen, and the question of China's role in the 21st century. The broader argument is that stable relations require both sides to understand each other's historical fears and strategic assumptions. For Kissinger, managing United States-China relations is not a temporary policy problem, but a defining challenge of world order. In conclusion, On China is best suited for readers interested in international relations, diplomatic history, Chinese foreign policy, and the strategic foundations of United States-China relations. It is especially useful for policymakers, students of geopolitics, and general readers who want to understand why China often approaches negotiation, sovereignty, hierarchy, and long-term competition differently from liberal Western powers. The book offers intellectual benefits rather than simple policy prescriptions. It teaches readers to connect present disputes with older patterns of history, memory, and strategic culture. Its practical value lies in encouraging caution against shallow analogies and short-term interpretations of Chinese behavior. Compared with many books on China, On China stands out because of the unusual combination of historical sweep and direct participation. Kissinger was not only interpreting events such as the Nixon opening and normalization, he helped shape some of them. That proximity gives the book authority and detail, though it also means readers should remain aware of its realpolitik perspective and the author's interest in defending diplomatic engagement. Its distinctiveness lies in presenting China not merely as an economic competitor or ideological rival, but as a civilization with a long strategic memory, entering a modern global order that it did not create but increasingly seeks to influence. If you would like to support Henry Kissinger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.